day's a brand new morning since the morning you moved in.
Good morning, friend.
Good morning, friend.
Good morning, friend.
Good morning, friend.
Yes, I'm feeling like a million since I got you living in.
Well, we're back on WPTF with the Weekend Gardener. Wow. That first hour went by so fast.
Yeah.
I guarantee the second and third hour will, too. And we're so glad to have everybody with us this morning. And, Brother Rufus, before we do anything else, I want to ask you about, I was so honored to be able to talk to your brother Joe, your older brother.
Wasn't that fun?
It was. It was so nice of him to call. And
he called down here. And got patched through that way. He's 91 years old, rides a bicycle about every day, has a doctorate in botany, and we just had a good time. I'm so glad to see him, and he's real proud of his little brother. I'm proud
he
of
sure
him.
Is.
He is me.
Yeah, we all are definitely proud, and that's
I'm
the way
very proud of him.
Siblings should be. That's wonderful.
That was so much fun, and I appreciate that opportunity.
And Rufus, while he was doing that, was sitting in a motel in Boone on the porch rocking and
smoking a cigar
and on the Weekend Gardener and people walking by you wondering what you were doing.
I had one group I said, anybody here heard of North Carolina State Fair? And this lady got on when Monica was on.
Yeah.
And said, I love the State Fair. Yeah. Yay for the State Fair.
And Farmer's Market, right.
And the other lot of people were just shaking their head. Thought I was over there talking to myself. I didn't stop to tell them that wouldn't be unusual.
But you said you could, you were, had good sight of the high school there where your farm was.
Yeah, I could look right out from where I was sitting and remember those tobacco rows, those corn rows, and how I would beg my mama to let me help her in the flower garden. So I wouldn't have to go way down in the bottom land and do the real work. Because she was the church flower lady. Her gladiolus and, oh, those wonderful, wonderful dahlias that grow. In the mountains, those dahlias, Gerald, will put on an extra foot. They know they got to get it going to get through that season.
Was it pretty cool up there?
Yeah, it was 64 degrees when I was talking with you.
That's nice. How about that?
Yeah.
Well, that high school should be named Edmonston High School.
Well, we've got a trail down by the New River that has my mom and daddy's name on it. I'm proud of that, donated by Walter and Nell Edmonston. So if you are ever up there and you want to do the Boone Trail, go down by the New River. You'll see it there.
The oldest river in America.
Yep. And the second river, the only second river in America, in the world to go from south to north.
Which is hard to
is
do.
Is the New River. Yeah.
That defies
That's
gravity.
That's uphill.
That defies gravity, doesn't it?
Yeah, it sure does. Yeah. It's a beautiful river, and I had a little part in helping save that from being dammed up in mainly Ash and Allegheny County, a little bit of Watauga. That's sort of something I'm a little bit.
That would have been a big old lake.
A little bit proud of.
Yeah,
we had to fight and fight and fight on that.
I bet so.
And Senator Irvin and Senator Jesse Helms and a number of other people fought to keep that from being dammed up. And the trouble was they were going to dam it up to supply power to Illinois and Ohio. And that didn't quite set well with me and other people.
No, absolutely not. So it was not a reservoir like Jordan Lake or Falls Lake for water for the community. Wow, that's pretty bad.
By the way, I wonder how our friend Representative Howard Penny is doing. He's a great listener
and a great
program.
Farmer, too.
I,
an agronomist.
We ought to hear from him, see what's happening on his farming business.
We'll get our Harnett County report.
Yeah.
I'd love to hear from him or Congressman Etheridge.
Yeah.
So, Mart, I understand that beautiful garden that y'all are creating there in Orange County, you have a new sprinkler sewer, I guess,
we
irrigation system.
We certainly do. I'm really, really proud of that. Last year, you knew that we were seeking some money and trying to get some grant money, get it going, and we finally got some decent amount of money and time to be able to put this thing together.
Wow.
And so a lot of our master gardeners helped also with putting in some money for it.
Oh, nice.
And so we've had some donation of some tubing. And so now what I actually did was I created one zone, and it was actually watering four different beds. And we got a new sprinkler timer system. It's a Wi-Fi timer system. And so I created actually four zones, and so I can control the all four zones with my cell phone. And that's something, you know, it's battery operated, and it's got this little hub that plugs in close by, and so that it connects it to the internet. And so no matter where I am, like if I need to turn on the water or stop the water because of rain that we've got going on now, then I can do that. And it's just amazing.
Tell us about the garden, and do you need more contributions?
Oh, we're always needing contributions. We recently received a grant from the North Carolina Native Plant Society.
Right.
And so we created a garden with just native plants, and it's just really taken off.
Have y'all done anything in cooperation with a botanical garden?
We have not yet.
You really should.
Well, we are working with them. We have master gardeners that work there, and we've got a new program coming out called the Master Naturalist Program, where we will be doing some work down there. The Master Naturalist Program is a pilot program. It started in Chatham County this year was the first year. It's a year-long class, and people are signing up for it. And so we are actively seeking people to sign up for our Master Naturalist pilot program that's going to be starting in January. It's a year-long, and if you're interested in it, please go to the Orange County Master Guard or the Orange County Cooperative Extension website. On the left side, there's a banner that says the Master Naturalist, and you can click on that and learn a little bit more about that and sign up if you're interested.
Yeah. Is this anything like the Master Gardener program?
It's kind of tailored like that, but this is actually creating volunteers that help with programs that deal with nature. the first portion, we'll talk about things like rivers and forest, and then the second portion we're talking about the food web, and then the third portion we're talking about man and the urban environment.
Mm.
So, for example, you know, deer pressure. You know how we interact with deer herds and sizes and. Yeah, as you know,
we don't interact very well with
no,
deer,
we don't.
Actually.
Coyotes would be another example.
Oh wow, yeah.
But that Master Naturalist program will be starting in January of 2025. A couple other things we've got going on is we've got a the Plant Fest is coming up in October, the first Saturday in October, and that's going to be a wonderful. Exhibit. It's a plant sale and education, so bring the family out, and you can move around from tent to tent that has different educational venues. Then finally, we've got the Master Gardener class. It's coming up. We're starting in September. We've got a great selection of students. We've got 35 students that are prepared to start in September, right after Labor Day. So we've got a lot going on in Orange County.
That's a lot of interest, yeah.
Yes, it is.
Well, Mark, for those of us who are lost in the 50s technologically, tell us where to mail our check.
Okay, I'll be happy to. If you just write a check, and you can on the subject line put Orange County Master Gardener or Bonnie B. Davis, Demo Gardens. Depends on where you want to send your money, but we'll be happy to use that and for educational purposes for expansion of our gardens. But mail that to North Carolina Cooperative Extension, attention Mark Bumgarner, and then the P.O. box is P.O. box 8181 in Hillsboro, North Carolina. So that's where you go. But we will be happy to use your money and to help, or you know, even to facilitate. We're happy to take any kind of equipment or whatever that you may have, garden tools or tubing or whatever that we would use for expanding an irrigation systems.
So, wow. Thank you. Incredible. Gerald, what about the tomato garden and the vegetable garden, fall vegetables now? Where do
we
stand?
Well, for those people that are not crying still from the drought and excessive heat of June and now have gone into the floods waiting for Noah to come back, it's been a pretty challenging summer for most vegetable growers, in particular us tomato lovers from that. So, yeah.
So how's your tomato crop been this year?
Mine's a little mediocre for me. One, I was later than I'd like to be getting planted because I was, you know, tied up selling plants, and it's not exactly a one-man show, but almost a one-man show. And that this was a bad year to plant late because we had so much heat early in June. What a lot of people, and I've answered hundreds of texts and emails, most of your tomato varieties, when we have prolonged mid-90-degree weather, the pollen just dries up before it can pollinate. So you see a pretty bloom, and then you never see any fruit, and you're like, what's going on, what's going on? Typically, that's goes on this time of the year, the end of July and early to mid-August, when we're in the, used to say, dog days of summer. But it got started earlier this year in June, so people started having issues with pollination sooner than you normally would. And is, you know, I always tell people, don't give up on your plants. You know, you've told them that for years in August, because if you keep your plant alive, eventually the weather will cool off and those blooms will go back to fruiting for you. But it's been a lot more challenging this year. And then anybody that had plants still in good shape, all this water this past week, any fruit that was starting to ripen, it's probably split in numerous places now, because the tomato just keeps on taking up the water. It don't shut off. And if there's water there, it will take it up. So it's been a challenging year for the majority of people there. I still get reports from people, and they're having the most fabulous year that they've ever had. And some of these have been new people who maybe weren't doing things as well as they could in the past, and I kind of got them pointed on a better trail.
Yeah.
Well, let's hear about how to save tomato seeds one more time, Gerald.
Okay, so the old school way of when you cut open a tomato, that little bit of gel you see around the seeds is actually an enzyme that coats the seed to keep them from sprouting. Think about it. You have this beautiful tomato, you cut it open, and there are roots running all through there everywhere. Mm-hmm. Well, that would kind of defeat the purpose. So the tomato on its own creates that enzyme that coats the seed. The old school way of getting that coating off the seed, you squeeze all the gel juice into a cup, add some water, put a piece of cheesecloth over the top, let it sit 4 or 5 days. It would ferment. You'd see, you know, like penicillin mold growing on the top of it. You would dump all that in a strainer, wash it off, then dump the seeds into on paper towels or in coffee filters. I discovered about 17 years ago a quicker method of doing that. I do all the same to start with. I squeeze the gel, the juice, the seeds into a styrofoam cup. I add some water to it, and then I put 1 tablespoon of OxyClean powdered detergent in, stir it up, let it sit for 1 hour, pour it through a strainer, is eat the coating off the seed, dump them into a coffee filter, and I'm good to go.
Now, there was a discussion standing out while we were at the smoking corner for the cigar corner out there about whether you could use Tide instead.
Yeah. So I don't know. The article I came across literally 17 years ago, the person used OxyClean, and they stated that the chemical in OxyClean, which is a word about 4 inches long that you could never pronounce, that is why they had used it. I suspect that another detergent might would work. I hate to wait a year to find out if the seeds come up. I know the OxyClean method works, but I wouldn't be against trying another means. Now, I get people all the time that say, well, I have some volunteering come up every year, and I didn't, you know, just where the fruit fell on the ground.
Yeah.
Well, two things happen. One, a seed laying on the ground through acid rain, sunshine on it and all that, that may eat the coating off, and therefore it could germinate and come up the following year. More likely, it's a very small fruited tomato. Some of your cherry tomatoes, the seeds are very tiny, and there's a lot of little seeds in there, and sometimes some of the seeds may dodge getting much of the enzyme coating on them. Mexico midget comes to mind. You can plant it, and it'll come back every year. Consistently for you. But generally speaking, if you want to guarantee that your seeds are going to be able to germinate, you need to clean them and get that enzyme off. And really, tomatoes are kind of unique. That's one of only the few seeds that I can recall you have to go through. Peppers or eggplants, you don't have to do anything like that.
Well, can I ask about maturity of the fruit? How do you know that you've got a tomato that the seed would be well enough defined?
You would want the riper the better. So if you had a tomato that was only showing 50% ripe and the other part was still green, you would not want to save a seed out of it. There may be some seed that are already mature enough and viable for next year, but there will be seed that are not. So let it get completely ripe, then it shouldn't be any problem at all.
Yeah, and I would assume that's the same thing for flower seeds as well. Letting it, you know, the flower head after it
yes.
dies and turns brown.
Yeah, it would be exactly the same. If I have people every year that you've got on to Halloween or early November, and now as they hadn't bothered to save any seed, and now they're expecting a frost or a freeze. Your chances with a tomato, especially of picking a green fruit and saving the seed, there may be a few in there that are okay, but the majority of them, you're going to see they're going to be smaller, and they may be, you know, a lighter color white where the other seed are darker color. It's pretty easy just glancing at them sometime to see, oh, this seed's nowhere near mature as those seed right there are.
Right, and, you know, you talk about the late season. I love letting the okra go to seed and or cucumbers or whatever when it starts rotting on the ground, and I just pick it up and go and try to do the same thing is just kind of slop it off and put it on paper and newspaper just to save the seed.
Yeah. Well, okay. I picked a tomato this morning, Gerald, that the Gladys Johnson City Gladys cousin Gladys Johnson City. And it was so ripe that other things started eating it. So I guess it's about ready.
Yeah.
So I squeezed it out into a little can, and we're going to try some, have any OxyClean.
Yeah.
I'm going to try a little Tide and see a little pinch there.
All right. Well, see what happens. Give us a report. We have Representative Howard Penny from Harnett County. So the gentleman from Harnett County is recognized for 5 minutes.
Great.
Good morning, Representative Penny.
Good morning. I woke up this morning. I said, "Well, I'm going into the swamp and check my fences." And I turn on the Weekend Garden, and you guys are talking about snakes. So you about?
Oh, Lord!
I'm sorry. Margaret told us. One of our listeners told us to shut up talking about that. So we stopped.
Well, I'm gonna put my boots on and try it anyhow. But I was had the pleasure go down to Hoke in Scotland County yesterday afternoon, and I went and met a friend of mine at Newton Grove, and looking at the eastern North Carolina's crops, and this tobacco crop has had so much water. I don't know if and talking to the farmers, I don't know if they're going to be able to, how much of it they're going to be able to save, because we've had have quite a bit of water.
Wow.
Not only with the hurricane, but over the last few weeks.
Yeah, and the drought, and then this. So
yeah, we had an extreme drought. I often refer to it as I live in the desert between Coates and Bowie's Creek. but you know, I thought of it years ago because I farmed all my life, and I used to pray, Lord, please send the rain, and he might send 5 inches and wash everything away. So I changed my prayer. I said, Lord, please send a gentle, refreshing rain to replenish your earth. So I changed the way I prayed. So we've had a lot of rain, but it's come relatively slow. It's just been a lot of it. So we've not had necessarily the damage from washing rains, but we've had the saturation is what the challenge we have now.
Well, how about the feed grain, your hay
corn
and
crop was the corn crop was pretty much lost because of the heat. We talked about it last time, the heat indices. It got that during that drought. It just got so dry, and a lot of the corn was planted at a time it was pollinating. So a lot of the corn crop in particularly eastern North Carolina is lost. As far as an optimum yield to be profitable, it is pretty much lost. Tobacco was not far enough along, but the rains have really brought it out. Cotton looks really well if they can get in to put the growth regulator, we call picks on it, to try to control the growth. But it's going to be a while before you can get into fields to do much spraying on the ground. Of course, I guess there's airplanes still available that can spray.
Yeah, that's right. Well, how about you said you were down in Scotland County? Some of the how are the rivers down there? Are they getting ready to crest?
Well, again, I crossed the Lumber River in a place or two, but I was really a little bit surprised that I did not see. And of course, I was on the main highways, obviously, so I was not on I was on a few backcountry roads, but I really didn't see the flooding that I thought possibly I would have seen. But I'm sure at a point in time. Now, I went across the Cape Fear River this morning at Lillington, and it's considerably out of its banks. It took a bridge out that goes into Keith Hills, a golf course community on the Cape Fear, and it took out a bridge there. So the residents, they've been scrambling trying to get that back to going. But the Cape Fear is way out of its bank. I don't know if it's going to crest.
My goodness. Well, it's something I know that we're all having to deal with. It's a great honor for you to call us always, Representative Penny.
Well, I'm listening every Saturday morning. Sometimes I've got the time, but I just thought I'd call you to remind you, be careful talking about the snakes. It may run some off.
I'll remember that. I started out, it was a public service, but shouldn't have even broached the subject, I guess. But thank you.
I'll need to have a machete or a bush axe with me when I go.
There you go.
Amen.
Do something like that. Yeah. Take a big stick.
All right. Well, look, you guys have a great weekend, and I appreciate everything you do on the weekend. Gardeners, it's very informative. It's very educational. I actually started my mornings a lot. I go over to what we call the wisdom table at the local restaurant.
And there you go.
Get into some very interesting subjects.
I bet.
That can't be repeated on the radio.
Well, get all those boys to listen to now.
Bring some of that wisdom next time you come to Raleigh.
I'll be glad to do it. You guys have a great week.
You too. Thank you, sir, very much. Representative Howard Penny of Harnett County.
Fine gentleman.
Yes, he is. 919-860-9783. More of the Weekend Gardener coming up. All right, we're back. We're back. The gallery needs to settle down.
Rufus?
Yeah, Rufus.
Oh, okay.
That's order in the court.
All right, yeah.
You dressed up today. You going to a funeral.
Yes, I am.
And a neighbor.
Yes, may I say a nice thing about
it? Please do.
My neighbor is Marie Beasley. She was married to Henry, who died some years ago.
Uh-huh.
And she was the nicest, friendly neighbor. We had this little contest of who could bring the other's garbage can disposal unit back the quickest for the other one.
Oh,
and she was very generous with everything, and just we'll miss her so very, very much because it's hard to get a good neighbor.
That's right. And she fed the deers with deer corn.
Oh boy,
So they kept them away.
I sure hope that her granddaughter, Michelle, will do the same thing. Keep feeding the. I will contribute to that, Michelle, if you're listening. keep feeding the deer. But I'm going to go to a service for her, so I'll be leaving the second hour here.
Yeah, so you don't have much more time on the show this morning. But, you won't be able to talk to Monica. She'll be with us after the 10 o'clock news. She'll miss you.
Yeah. Well,
you'll have to go out there and get you a hot dog today.
I might just do that because the service is at 11. And
that'll give you plenty of time.
Plenty of time to go by.
You don't want to go there before because you get it all over
and
your shirt.
I want to say hello to our friend George. We've touted the Rufus dog for a long time. Our buddy at the Roast Grill, George, really, I want to say that's the best hot dog in town. Now, I'm going to get in trouble over that, even though I've got a hot dog name for me. George's is really the best.
I just...
Since 1941.
Doggone right. His grandparents had the idea. They had the right idea.
And just don't even think about bringing ketchup in there.
No. I remember being in there. It's a really tiny little place. You can't get a lot of people in there. But anybody who comes in there is devoted after that.
10 stools and 4 two-seaters.
Yeah, little tables over there.
That's how big it is, Bart.
You got to raise your hand to get waited on over there because you're below.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, you're below the counter almost. I've been in there when George was cutting up onions back there, and he would run everybody out of the place. He did that hot dog real fast. But he makes his own chili. The Roast Grill, it's in downtown. And the city of Raleigh has just ruined the parking. They have to do what they have to do, but they've just ruined the parking.
Well, they didn't have to do that. They put a bicycle lane in front of George's, for goodness sake.
I wouldn't ride a bicycle in downtown Raleigh if you paid me.
Death wish.
It is.
Was it last weekend that he called in and told us the name of that fig and the origin?
Yeah, right. At the very end, the Greek. His parents. He's of Greek heritage. His grandparents.
What is
were
the
from
name? Because I've made several cuttings of it for him in the past.
I can't remember. Maybe he'll call and tell us again.
It's on the podcast. Right at the end of the podcast. I don't know if
I knew his grandmother brought the original cutting. Yeah.
Jason, can you find that? I don't know if you have time to find that or not.
It's a fantastic
right at the end
fig
of the last hour. He called last week and told us the name of that, and maybe we can figure it out before the...
Maybe I'll have enough sense to write it down somewhere this time.
Well, I might be able to find it myself, because you can go to, like, the Apple Podcasts, and the Weekend Gardener is on there. And, see? that's how it is. And it's available on others. Let me see. That's hour number one. How do I get to hour number?
It's an unusual looking fig.
A big tree.
I don't know if you've
too.
Ever seen it before, Mark, but it's green on the outside and red interior when it's ripe.
Really?
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's delicious.
Rufus has got a call. Governor or senator or somebody's calling him. That's the way it usually is. So, Gerald and Marit, I'll start with you, Gerald. If folks want to, this is probably a pretty good time to start a fall garden. And a lot of people are into fall gardens, you know, kale and all that.
There are a lot of things you can grow for the fall. And if your summer crop is kind of done in, you can start removing stuff and getting ready for that. I mean, you've got some things people don't realize can be planted in the next week or two. I mean, that would collards would come into mind for that. And then, of course, I've never had as good a luck. Cauliflower is a little slower, and you kind of get a little small head. But broccoli, for me, has been a better fall crop. The cauliflower's done a lot better for me in the spring. But you can still grow it. You're going to get something. You may just not get as large a head as you do when you grow it in the summer. Brussels sprouts is something that people don't realize. You know, you plant along when you do collards, mid-August into early September, but they take forever to make. I've had some years where it was Christmas before I started picking the Brussels sprouts off, and that's one of those things I never really cared for them until I actually grew some myself. And they were so much better than we kind of just steam prepared them like we would cabbage. And that was good. But there's a lot of you know, Rufus is not in here now, so I'll mention Kale why he's not in order to get him on a tirade. But, I mean, there are a lot of things that can be grown for the fall, but sometimes people don't realize they need to be planted within the next 30 days, not the end of September. To get them growing, and I suspect in another week or two, I don't grow any fall crops, plants for sale, but I suspect you'll start seeing them at the market here in the next couple of weeks.
Lettuce and carrots. Everybody likes lettuce and carrots. That's something theoretically you could grow.
Yes, lettuce is a spring fall crop here, just too hot for the summer, and a lot of people don't realize you can plant carrots the 1st of October, they'll come up and the cold will not kill them in the wintertime. And then they will take off and mature, and they'll be ready, sometime in May the following year. And, most carrots, take 85 to 100 days to make. Obviously, it's longer when you plant them in the fall, but you can plant them in the fall and you can plant them in the spring as well. I will say, if you're going to sow carrot seed, it's worth your while to buy the coated seed. They will germinate a lot quicker. Traditional carrot seed sometimes can take 3 weeks to come up, and you give up on them. Where the coated seed, because it heats up the seed, will germinate and come up quicker, and you eventually get a lot better stand.
Do we start them under grow lights or in the house?
No, you sow those right on in the ground. The carrots seeds you can sow directly in the ground.
Does it say coated seed on the packet?
Yeah, it'll say it on the packet. And you don't get as many seed in the packet because the coating makes the seed larger. Mm-hmm. But that is the one vegetable seed that I highly recommend people, when they can, find the coated seed, because they're just a little twitchy on germination and coming up compared to a lot of your other vegetable seed that, soil temperature's warm, they'd be up in 5 days. And carrots just are not like that.
Can you start turnip salad right now?
I probably would wait a little bit longer on the turnip salad. It grows a lot quicker. Mm. You run into some issues, it's the catch 22. Some of your spring crops do well because they'll germinate in cooler soil. Well, now the soil temperature is about as high as it's going to be for the entire year. So sometimes you can have some issues with germination now. And lettuce comes to mind for that sometimes. So I might would wait. Lettuce matures pretty quickly. I might would wait on into September before I put any lettuce seed directly in the ground.
By the way, I felt a sharp ping while I was out.
Yeah, I know.
Something was said that gave me
that
sharp ping. Were you talking about O'Kale?
Yes, we were.
O'Kale, no.
Who was your phone call from? Was that the governor in some kind of issue? Or
The governor what?
I didn't know if you got a call from the governor.
I had to go talk to the man about a dog.
Well...
but in the restroom there, you do have a voice box in there.
I thought your phone was ringing.
So just don't think you guys are getting violent anything.
So in August, what should we plant?
August, most definitely, you can plant Brussels sprouts. You can plant collards. You can plant broccoli if you can find. The plants, I think, towards the latter part of the month, you could go ahead and plant kale and cabbage. I said it real quickly from there. And you get into, there are a lot of what comes under the group of Asian vegetables, the bok choy, pak choy, tat soy. I mean, there's a lot of those in the greens family.
Good for you, too.
That you're getting pretty close to time to be able to plant those as well, certainly by early September.
So wait till September for
some of your seeding, I would wait for. If you were starting seed for collards and cabbage, you probably should have already done it if you were growing them yourself. But it's not too late. And sometimes I will get those somewhere with not as much sun and maybe trying to cool the soil down a little bit to get a little better germination from those. But
how do you cool the soil down?
Well, if you don't get it in as much sun, say you put it where you're only getting 5 hours of sun, or four or five, and not
so
the 10 or 11 hours of sun.
But you can also use shade cloth, too, as well, if you put it in a high tunnel or something like that.
Anything to add there, Martin?
Well, I wanted to kind of change the direction a little bit. And you're talking about preparation. You were talking about how long it takes to get the seeds ready and everything else. Well, it's almost time to be reseeding lawns.
Yeah.
Okay? And so things that you need to be doing right now is actually soil sampling. That's the number one thing. Soil
sampling. And that's sampling. Good for anything. It's vegetable about, garden
absolutely.
Or
it's
the lawn.
It's still free.
Time for lime.
That's right. And it's 2 weeks, about a two-week turnaround to get the results. You're going to want to be having that lime down and so forth based on that recommendation. And then after that, you want to have your ground prepped, and you're going to be sowing your grass seed in around mid-September. August to September is the time frame to be working, mid to mid.
Yeah, no, people, during the drought, they have some brown spots. You can take care of that along with the sowing.
Mm-hmm. Yep. So now's the time to be thinking ahead and preparing. Because, you know, what I get a call about is it's postseason, it's way too late. And people say, well, do you think, what will happen if I sow it anyway? Or if I don't have the pH conditions right? And, you know, I'm saying you're wasting your money. And you know, they say the best time to sow is in the fall. And then the next best is in the spring. But I'm going to tell you, based on our current and personal observation, is that the spring, you're just not going to have a good quality grass. You're
not
just not going to get established.
Not with the kind of weather we've had.
Exactly.
Not for fescue. You're wasting your money.
That's temporary
so get
grass.
Get that stuff in the fall.
That's why I've gone to wild strawberries.
I have people all the time ask me, well, how do I know if I need to put out lime? I said, well, obviously you do a soil test and that will tell you, but I can tell you another indication for you too. If you have been doing with your tall fescue, this kind of the same thing year after year, fertilizing, and all of a sudden you're noticing, well, I fertilize like I've always have in the past, but I just don't seem to be getting a growth, or it's not growing out, or not greening up as much. That's almost always a sign that your pH has got too high, and you need some lime. Because
and we
if
have
it
very
get,
acidic
gets
soils
too
here.
Acidic, the roots can't take up the fertilizer.
Yeah, this ain't Kansas, where they have that alkaline soil. But warm season grasses, if you've got the sunlight and you don't have all the root competition from large trees, then that's the way to go.
I tell you what you may need now. So if you have a fairly new Bermuda lawn, maybe that you did from seed and you've been trying to keep the grass cut so it was spread, if you've got any bare areas in your Bermuda now, after all this rain, this might be one more time to hit a little bit of fertilizer now, because you've got maybe 30 more days of growing season in the Bermuda. You know, as you start to get into fall, it kind of slows down with the cooler nighttime temperatures, and you might could expand. But the best way, if you've got thin places in your Bermuda, is to keep it cut as low as possible, and the runnels will go east and west. If you let it grow up and tassel, it's not going to run anymore.
Yeah. I have, on my walking route, I have like four zoysia lawns. Mm-hmm. One of them was just installed in March, and
it's pretty happy today.
It is extraordinary. All of them are just so lush and green, and friends, that's the way to go, because the fescue, as I said, the turf specialists can consider that, just like the rye around here, is just temporary grass.
Well, I have a question. Even with all my weeds and stuff, I do mix some grass seed with my clover, but I get it at white corals, and they have a special mixture, and I don't know what it is, but it does very well, even among my weeds.
Well, a lot of it has to do with local
grass seed. I think it's a mixture.
Well, most all of the tall fescue that you can buy now, well, I'm not going to say most all, but a lot of it is a blend, and it'll be 3 to 4 to 5 different tall fescues, and sometime there'll be a small percentage of bluegrass. There are a couple of bluegrass varieties that can take our summer heat here and do well. And the thought behind that is, well, if you've got 5 different varieties mixed together that have shown to be resistant to brown patch and only one of them has an issue that summer, well, it's only, you know, 20% of the seed that you had out there that'll be so small that you won't notice it, and you won't have that whole place, you know, the size of the doormat coming into your house. So most of the better seed companies for years now have been selling, and it's always been not funny, but, you know, interesting to me that, and it changes each year. You'll see different mixes. You know, the same company may have had these 4 varieties mixed last year, and the next year it may have 2 of them and 2 other ones. So they're all the time changing that.
Yeah.
And throw a little white clover in there, Mark.
Yeah.
Clover's nice.
Yeah. Well, only problem, whenever you have a mixed variety like that with clover in it, some of the, if you decide to use an herbicide or something like that, a selective herbicide, it'll take your clover out.
You've knocked your clover out.
Yeah, that's right. We notice how quiet I get about when you guys start talking about lawns, because it's green. Mine's green.
Mine's green too.
What kind of lawn do you have? Yeah. I have a green one.
That's right. My yard is packed with green.
Yeah, weeds.
Especially now. Yeah, I've got plenty of all of it, but you know, it's kind of,
believe it or not, silk grass even mows well.
Is that right?
And you better mow it before it seeds out.
Amen.
It's getting ready to, isn't it?
Everywhere.
Has it already started?
Yeah, it's right now ready to really show its stuff.
All right.
But in certain spots, nothing to do but let it grow.
Somebody was asking me about St. Augustine down at the beach. You ever tried to grow that down there?
I have not, but I need to do something. I got a place down there, and I've got weeds wouldn't even.
It's tough at all. It's tough unless you have a lawn care company spraying it, or you have the time to be down there enough to spray it and irrigate and all of that stuff. It's really hard to deal with a lawn at the coast of North Carolina because of the salt air and the sand, and you don't always. It gets pretty droughty down there. All right, you know, all of the problems we've had weather-wise, your car's dealing with all of this too, and whether it's real dry or wet, you need to get the car checked to make sure that all the working parts are intact and working properly. So get a late summer checkup, and you can check the wiper blades, because they've certainly needed to work lately. Get all the filters checked, get the battery checked, because the batteries just don't last like they used to. But part of the reason is you have so many more electronic devices in your car now, so they're kind of overwhelmed. About 3 years is all you can get out of a battery now, just about. So get that checked. They have a lot of technology at King's Auto Service to check all of these things. The AC needs to keep working, because we're going to be hot for a while. And, make sure the heater core is in good shape, the radiator and all that stuff. These plastic radiators, you got to make sure they're okay and not leaking. And just go in and let them give it a once-over, or at least get on a routine of the folks at King's Auto checking it. If you have a hybrid vehicle, a lot of them on the road now, they have certified hybrid technicians that can help you. And by golly, go to King's at 1039 West Street. It's Northwest Street in downtown Raleigh. Go to kingautomotive.net. They have been in business since 1946. Dean Bailey is one of the smartest people I've ever known. He owns the place, and he has some great technicians there. So you can be sure that your car, or truck, or SUV will be taken well cared for there at King's Auto Service. More of the Weekend Gardener coming up here on WPTF.